One more control chart to consider, and this one's different than anything we've talked about before. It's called a pre-control chart, and it's got a pretty general application, much like other control charts that we have talked about. It's not related to capability indices, though. Other than that, if your process is in control and is stable with this pre-control chart process, you can then go off and collect data and calculate a capability index. But other than that, you're not able to use a pre-control chart to calculate percentages directly using a standard normal table. Although, I imagine that somebody that's clever enough probably could figure it out. As I mentioned at the end of the last lesson, pre-control charts is a simplified method of doing control charts. It doesn't have all these different rules. It's not as complex to calculate. I don't have any factors to look up or tables to look up. And I use individual units to make the readings. And so I don't have to draw samples in any defined or prescribed way or anything like that. But it does provide very similar protection for a process being in control or not in control. So it has its uses and its value. So the basic process is based on a chart like this for your process. Now, the data doesn't have to be normally distributed, but it should be symmetrical and, roughly bell-shaped. It doesn't have to be perfect by any means, but many processes create data that looks about like this anyway. So it's one to do a histogram, and if you've basically got something that looks like a normal, it's probably good enough. So the basic idea is that you're going to be working with your specifications directly. So this works really well when you're making individual readings. Let's say you're making engine blocks and you're making measurements as they come off the assembly line, and that particular line makes 3 or 4 of these per hour, for example, or whatever that frequency is. The frequency isn't as important as that you're measuring individual units and it's feasible and possible to do so. So that precludes ones where it's expensive and time-consuming to make a reading, which presents problems with the other types of control charts also. But this chart says that I need to make it basically individual readings, and then I switch to sampling over time. So let me explain the process just briefly. So let's say I've got a specification, and this PC lines that are based on here are basically 1/2 the distance from the mean to the specification. So I take my data, I collect a bunch of readings, and I'm looking, or I can take the middle of my specification as the starting point, and the distance from here to here is the same as the distance from here to here. And if I am dealing with a normal distribution that just touches at plus or minus 3 standard deviation of my specifications, I should have about 7% of my data fall in this region, and is 7% out here. And just like the regular control charts, if it's outside of 3 standard deviations, I'm saying something's wrong, and we're going to label that red, and that it's out of control. But it goes a little further. It's taking a look at when you're starting up the process, is that you want to make sure that your process is starting in good shape and is making good products right from the get-go. And that's where the real forte of the pre-control chart comes in. So let's take a look at the basic process. So I take 5 pieces in a row. I'm making, say, those engine blocks. And I take the first 5 that come off the assembly line, and if they're all within the target region, inside that green region in the chart, in here, within the middle of my specification, then I can run. I'm good to go. I start production. And Then I take samples, and this will, how frequently you take samples will depend on how critical it is that you maintain a stable process. So if you have the capability and have a process that allows you to make ongoing readings, you could continue to make individuals readings, but then you'd be comparing it against your specifications. In general, the control chart would help you to figure out if something is shifting or changing. But let's say you're going to make a measurement once an hour or once a day. You take a sample and you make a reading. Now, this is after you've gotten the first five in a row to be in the target area. So if the first sample I take is in target, good to go. Keep running. Just keep measuring. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't change anything. But if the first reading is outside the target, and this is in a already running process, then I measure the second one. Now, if the second one is in the target, I keep running. But if both of them are outside the target area, basically in the yellow region, so if I get two in a row in this area, then I stop the process and try to understand what happened, what's different, what changed, what's the source of this variation. Now, of course, if one sample, either one of them is in the red area, the first one or the second one, or both, well, I wouldn't take a second reading if I have the first one in the red, then again, stop the process and understand what's going on. So basically the rule is get five in the target region, start running. Periodically, take a sample. If the first sample is green, keep running. If the first sample is yellow, take another sample. If it's also in the yellow, stop the process. If you get one sample, that first sample is in the red, stop the process. Once you stop the process, do the investigation, figure out why it's there, and then restart the line. Again, take five samples. They all should be in the green. Then you can start the process. If they're not all in the green region, figure out what's going on, restart your process, get five new samples, make sure they're all in the green, and so on. So the process is, I think there's like three or four steps here to really keep in mind. Five pieces in a row in the target area, good. If it's anytime you get kicked out of running, it's two in the yellow or one in the red, stop the process, sort it out, start over with five pieces. And there's one little trick here is if one's in the yellow, take a second sample. You have to have two yellows in order to stop the process. Now, the calculation of all of the details are similar to the regular control chart. Getting two samples outside of that region into that area is it's 7% times 7%. So it's 0.07 times 0.07 is 0.0049. Is that right? I might have an extra zero in there. But it works out to be similar to getting a single point in the red region. It's not perfect, but it's pretty darn close, and it's much, much simpler than calculating averages and ranges and plots and so on. Not that that's difficult at all. But it's just another way, another type of control chart that may be useful for you. So once you're stable and you got a capable process, look for areas where you can continue to make improvements. This process really doesn't ever really stop. But keep in mind that your design team could really use this information in order to set appropriate tolerances that allow the processes that are stable and capable to continue to produce products with minimizing the scrap that's involved. So one more time, another reminder to work the examples. I'll be adding quiz questions and worked out samples and so on. I should be able to track down one or two more sample exams. You have plenty of questions you can work through. It's really your best way to practice exercising your paper and pencil skills, your calculator skills, and finding the information you need from your references. In the next segment, we're going to go, or the next module, really, we're going to go after statistical inferences. And there's a couple different pieces of that, and we'll see you in the next lesson.